I'm going to read a passage from the 25th chapter of Matthew. I'll read the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." That's the first 13 verses of the 25th chapter of Matthew. And I look to the Lord now to help us to get at least some of the import out of this lesson. I worked till a late hour at night last night, arranging scripture references and notes for this little message, and then I decided to abandon all of that. And so I just look to the Lord to help us to get the import of the little message this morning. Now it's about 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And all of those foolish ones missed out in the end. Then at the very outset, we're confronted with a thought that should almost stop our hearts from beating. When we recognize the fact that there are many, Jesus spoke of it as half of them, that are professing Christianity that'll not make it in the end. Half of them. I may be looking right in the face of some foolish folks this morning that are not going to make it in the end. I hope I'm not. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this. He wasn't talking about out there in the world. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The professors of Christianity, and half of them won't make it. That's startling, isn't it? That is enough to make you and me examine ourselves quite closely and examine all of our feelings and attitudes and dispositions and doings and thoughts and everything. Now, I don't go around saying you're in and you're out and you're in and you're out and you're in and you're out. That isn't up to me. But Jesus said half of them were not qualified to go to heaven in the end. They were all virgins. A virgin is a pure, chaste person. And all of these were that. Then I was thinking of some things in the Holy Scriptures describing what conditions will defile a person. Will spoil us. These were all unspoiled folks. And undefiled people. And surely we, as far as our little understanding goes of human nature and what's in people's hearts, we see people like this, we'd class every one of them good, wouldn't we? Undefiled, unspoiled. All of them virgins. Let us look at 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verses 1-4. Now, anything that will defile a person, corrupt them, after that has taken place, they're not virgins anymore. We know that, don't we? Now he said, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now this is a message to the church at Corinth. It isn't just to an individual, it's to a church. And he said, I'm jealous over you. He saw some things going out of order there among those folks. And it aroused his jealousy because it was his purpose of heart to present that church as a chaste virgin to Christ. Says, I've espoused you to one husband. The relationship in the scriptures that exists between Christ and the church is that of a husband with his wife. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. There are many scriptures that verify this, and I'll not take time to go into now. But Paul said concerning the Corinthian church, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. We all know that story, don't we? So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. the simplicity that's in Christ. Then I conclude that anything or any disposition or any attitude to reach out beyond the simple, lowly, humble way of the Lord for high things. The Scripture says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It's difficult for us to do that sometimes. And the world is going after high things today. Going after things that will glorify man and magnify the flesh. I've told you a time or two about a conversation I had on the phone with a party when I was living down at Southern California, Pacoima. Phone rang one day and I answered the phone and it was a lady on the other end and she says, "Is this the church?" And I said, "Yes." Well, she said, "Are you the minister of the church?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "What church is it?" And I says, "The Church of God." Well, she said, "Tell me about the Church of God." Well, I figured she must have some idea about the Church of God to be asking about it. So I said, "Well, now what is it you want me to tell you? Where do you want me to start? Tell me everything. Just start at the beginning and tell me everything." Well, you know, that's quite a little order. And she says, "What do you believe in?" I said, "We believe in salvation from sin. We believe in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that saves men and women from their sins. We believe in living a life free from sin. And I got about so far," and she interrupted and she said, "Well, tell me about your services. How do you conduct your services?" I said, "I suppose like most everybody does." "Well, but what do you do?" I said, "We sing and pray and preach." "Oh, well," said, "everybody does that." "Well," I said, "yes, I'm aware of that. That's the way we conduct our services, just about like everybody else does." "Well, are your services dignified?" "Well," I said, "I don't know what you include in that, what ground you'd cover in that." She said, "Well, do you jump and shout and roll on the floor?" "Oh, no," I said, "we don't do that. We're not Pentecostal." "Oh," she said, "that's what you call them." "Well," I said, "the Pentecostal people do that." And I said, "we are not of that faith and we don't do those kind of things." "Well," she said, "how do you conduct your services?" I says, "We conduct our services to the best of our ability under the direction of the Holy Spirit." And I said, "We just leave things open in the service for the Spirit to lead as He chooses to lead and to see how He's leading at the time." "Well, I want to know, are your services dignified?" I said, "Lady, we're just a little group of very common people down here, and we carry on in a very common way. We're humble folks." "Thank you." Click. Up went the phone. I stood there and looked at my phone a little bit. I thought, well, that's a pretty abrupt break off of what started off to be a promising conversation. While I was standing there looking at my phone, the Lord spoke to me and He said, "That's what the world's after today. They want something that will please the flesh and glorify man. And if it doesn't please the flesh and glorify man, they're not interested in it. They don't want it." Now that's a corruption. That's a defilement. He said, I fear lest as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your hearts, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Folks, let me tell you today that Christ is worshipped in the same lowly, humble way, out of the same lowly, humble hearts that He was in the day that Jesus was here and opened His heart to us and said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest to your souls. He just opened His heart wide open to us and showed us what was in it. And it's the same today. Well, then we conclude that these folks hadn't gone that way. They were still satisfied with the lowly, humble, simple way of the Lord, else they wouldn't have been called virgins. They'd have been corrupted people. They hadn't gone that way, been affected with that kind of thing. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, the world is full of different kinds of Jesuses today. Different Jesuses to what we know Jesus to be. The world is teaching a Jesus today that does not save people from their sins. They're teaching us that we must sin more or less all the time. There's no such thing as being saved from sin. That's another Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible, God said concerning Him, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Not only does He save His people from their sins, but He actually breaks the power and dominion of sin out of the hearts and lives of those who come to Him and are saved through His grace. The Scripture says in the 6th chapter of Romans, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're under grace. The grace of God gives power over sin, but that's not the Jesus the world is preaching today. They're preaching another Jesus today. The world is preaching a Jesus today that does not perform miracles. They're telling us that that was all for Christ and the apostles back there and passed away with them. One man told me, he says, I can show you right in the Bible where it says that Christ and the apostles did those things, but that it all passed away with them. And he was working where I was working, and I said, well, all right. I said, I've got a check coming here pretty soon. And I says, you bring up that scripture by the time I get that check, and I'll sign that check over to you. I'll just pay you my whole check for that scripture. Well, when I got my check, I went around and I said, have you got your scripture yet? And he said, no, I haven't found it yet. Well, I knew he wasn't going to find it. But he said he hadn't found it yet. And that was the last I ever saw of him. He went off of the job right after that, and I never saw him anymore. But that's the kind of Jesus that the world is preaching today. He doesn't heal the sick today. He doesn't perform miracles today. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's another Jesus. But the world is going after these various Jesuses that's being presented to them today. If ye preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, much of that in the world today, or another gospel which ye have not accepted. Paul said in the Galatian epistle, he said, if I or an angel from heaven, let it be an angel from heaven, If he preach any other gospel than that which I have preached to you, let him be accursed. Well, then we must conclude that this group of people had not gone after those strange things. They were still believing in Jesus as Jesus, and they were still holding to the gospel, the pure gospel that Paul had preached to them. Else, had it been different, they would have been corrupted and defiled and wouldn't have been virgins anymore. But these folks were virgins all the way through. Uncorrupted, chaste, pure, undefiled people all the way through. They had not been affected by the high sounding things. The Bible speaks about those who by fair speeches deceived the hearts of the simple, but they hadn't listened to that. They hadn't given ear to that. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter and the 4th verse, he says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." These folks had not been beguiled or seduced by fair speeches and by beguiling words. They were still receptive to the plain, simple, straightforward gospel message. Else they wouldn't have been virgins. They'd have been beguiled and seduced. They'd have been corrupted. In verse 8 of the 2nd chapter of Colossians, he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now, philosophy is a seeking after wisdom by intellectual means only. That isn't the way that you and I receive our knowledge. We receive our knowledge of the spiritual and eternal things of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the 32nd chapter of Job in verse 8, he said, "There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding." That's where saints get their understanding of the spiritual and eternal things of God, is through the revelation and inspiration of the divine spirit. It is not by intellectual means only. The Word of God says, "When in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God." And all the philosophies of this world will not acquaint you and me with God. And we don't get acquainted with God through books. And we don't get acquainted with God intellectually. We get acquainted with God through a personal contact and relationship and an experience that takes place in our lives with Him that acquaints us with God. God reveals Himself to every humble heart. "Beware lest any man spoil you." These folks were unspoiled. And they were uncorrupted. They were virgins all the way through. Clear down to the time when they came after the door was shut and was knocking and asking for admittance. He still called them virgins. Afterward came also those other virgins and began to knock. They hadn't gone after these things. The high-sounding philosophies of this world and the very basic idea of philosophy is to just throw a doubt in people's minds about everything. The philosopher, he'll say, what's two and two? You say four, he'll say, how you know it's four? You're just going on what's been established all the way down the line. How do you know it's four? That's the basic idea of philosophy, is to throw a doubt in people's minds. And the philosophers of this world are very successful in throwing doubts and confusions in people's minds about the spiritual and eternal things of God. They're all after something they can see, something they can handle, something they can know. A man said to me once, he says, I'm not interested in anything that I can't see, feel, or touch. See, feel, or taste. Well, I says, you're quite materialistic, aren't you? Yes, sir, he said, I'm not a bit interested in anything I can't see, feel, or taste. And that's what the philosophies of this world build people's minds up to. And they go after the material, physical things of earth and of this life. And the biggest part of this world, that's where their chief interest is in the material and physical things of earth and life. Philosophy. Vain deceit. After the tradition of men and the pulpits are full today of traditions of men. And Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. After the rudiments or elements of the world. The world in this case is the old Jewish dispensation. And the ordinances of the law, and that's the Judaizers' doctrine. They hounded the Apostle Paul everywhere he went. He was preaching salvation through faith in Christ only, without the works of the law. That the law had been abolished in Christ, and that grace was set up. And he was teaching salvation on that basis, through faith in Christ, without the works of the law. Here came these Judaizers, and they began persuading his disciples, the converts that he had made in the places where he preached, that they could not be saved without being circumcised and keeping the law of Moses. Now that constituted a corruption. Getting human works in with faith and the grace of God as a part of salvation, that's a corruption. Paul said, we are not of those that corrupt the word of God. But there are people doing it. And the biggest part of the religion of the professed Christian world today is a religion of works. Just works. That's a corruption. People are saved by the grace of God through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And he said, not after Christ. You have been affected by the rudiments of the world and getting all these human efforts and human works and good works and everything mixed up with your faith in Christ as a part of your salvation. Now, people that are saved, they do good works, all right. It's the very nature of Christian people to do good works. and to bear one another's burdens and to bless one another and help one another in their needs. That's the very nature of the Spirit of Christ. But doing those things does not make us children of God. We do those things because we are children of God. We manifest the Spirit of Christ because we have the Spirit of Christ. But doing those things doesn't make us a partaker of the Spirit of Christ. Now he said, in him dwelleth all the fullness. That's where it is, folks. That's where you're going to get full and free salvation. That's in him. And in a right and proper relationship with him. Not through the works that you do, but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the grace of God. In him dwelleth all the fullness. You don't need these other Jesuses. And you don't need these other philosophies. And you don't need the high sounding things of this world. The fullness is all in him, right in the lowly Jesus. And the next verse says, ye are complete in him. We have everything we need right in Jesus. And then verse 18 says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. The margin says a voluntary inhumility. Acting humble. An humble man doesn't have to act humble. He is humble. And I doubt if you ever hear a real, genuine, humble man talking about being humble. In fact, he doesn't know he's humble. He's unconscious of the fact. That's just what he is, and he just lives that out. But he's not even conscious of the fact that he is humble. When you hear somebody talking about being humble and saying, well, I want to be humble, I want to take the humble place here, you can just about set it down, that fellow's not as humble as he ought to be. Real, genuine humility doesn't require any advertisement or announcement. We're just humble. We don't talk about it. We don't even know we are. We're not conscious of the fact of being humble. That's just a way of life. Beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, getting all mixed up and impure in your worship toward God. God requires total worship out of you and me. Not worshiping anything else or any other being, just worshiping him. Worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Well, the clock's gone around there, and I'm going to close at this point. There's much more to be said here, and I'll get back on this at another time, the Lord willing, and finish up this thought, because it is one of the basic and most important thoughts concerning us and our Christian life and our relationship with Christ. So the Lord willing, I'll be back here again sometime in the future and finish this up. But we might go away considering that these people that we're talking about have not been affected by any of these things. They haven't been beguiled. They haven't been corrupted. They haven't been seduced. Else they wouldn't have been virgins. But they stood virgins all the way through. And up to this point, just consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. And let's stand now and be dismissed from the service.